Good morning and welcome to our Easter Sunday sermon. Before we get started, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your love, and I pray that you would just bless each one who's listening today. Thank you for your death and your resurrection, Lord. Thank you for what that means to us, Lord. And as we look at that passage today, or scripture about that telling us of the resurrection, I just pray that you would bless us with knowledge, with insight, Lord, and just speak to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, he has risen. Today, that's what we celebrate, that he has risen. He was dead, and now he is alive. He is not here. He has risen, is the words in the tomb. So let's start off, first of all, by reading a passage from Scripture. And I'm going to read it from John, and it's chapter 20. I'm going to read from 1 to 18. So let's start in verse 1 of chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial clothes that had been around Jesus' head. The burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, in 2004, Mel Gibson released, or maybe unleashed is a better way of putting it, his film, The Passion of the Christ. And it was his brutal, graphic, uncompromising depiction of the last 12 hours of Christ's life. That's why I used the word unleashed. Even in predominantly non-Christian countries, it was a massive financial success. In fact, the film became the highest-grossing non-English language film of all time, until 2017. It was deemed controversial by some, Jewish leaders suggesting it provoked anti-Semitism. Some claimed it was unnecessarily violent and brutal, and if you've seen it, you might know what they mean. Bizarrely, despite all that, it was a relative hit in countries with large Muslim populations, like Egypt. I remember when I saw it, when it had finished, almost everyone in the cinema sat in stunned silence. And even when they left, there was very little talk. Now, I don't know how many people there were Christians, but it was fascinating how many people seemed unable to express their thoughts about the film. And I've never experienced that in any other visit to the cinema. You know, almost complete silence because of what they just saw. Christ's arrest, punishment, and death. But here's the thing. It was very much a Good Friday film. Now, what I mean by that is, it meticulously depicted Christ's death on the cross. And I mean the utter brutality of it. Now, there is a short scene just before the credits showing the inside of the tomb as it fills with light as the stone is rolled away. The camera pans and you catch sight of the grave clothes collapsing flat after what is inside, Jesus' body, disappears. Then you see Jesus' face as he prays. And then as he stands, you see the hole in his hand, and then the credits roll to somewhat triumphant music. And then you go home. Credits have rolled. Now, despite that small glimpse of the resurrection, unfortunately, it's the violence and the brutality of his beating and flogging and crucifixion that is seared into your brain. It's that brutal violence towards Jesus that sticks in your head. That gruesome end that gives the lasting impression. And that overwhelms that final scene, unfortunately. Now, it's only in the last couple of years that Mel Gibson has announced that he's making a sequel to the film, which tells the story of the 3 days after the crucifixion and focusing on Jesus' resurrection. But the film itself could have done with that extra bit. You know, it's unfortunate that so little was made of the resurrection in the film itself. You know, because the most important part is that he rose from the dead. You know, he has risen. That's our celebratory cry on Easter Sunday. He has risen. You know, that is the good news. You know, the Wikipedia definition of the good news, if you type it in Wikipedia, is in Christianity, the gospel, or the good news, is the news of the coming of the kingdom of God and of Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection to restore people's relationship with God. That's the key to Easter Sunday, the death and the resurrection. You know, we celebrate on Good Friday the death of Jesus and what that means and how he saved us from our sins. But the resurrection is the important part, because that is the part that shows that we can also rise from the dead and live in glory with Christ, with God. Jesus died for our sins. Yes, he took all our sins on his shoulders like it was his own and died and descended to hell. He was punished once and for all. He had done nothing wrong, but was punished for all the things we have done, are doing, and will do wrong. That's amazing. That is what we celebrate today. And it's the most important event in the life of any believer, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Many see it as the main event in history, that Jesus' resurrection is the centre of all history. Jesus was born to die, but his rising was the victory. Now, if you remember, that's the thing, it was to pay our debt, you know. Remember back in John 19, verse 30, it says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, when he said, it is finished, what he meant was, for years and years and years, the Israelites, the Old Testament Israelites, had been sacrificing animals for all manner of sins. You know, there was this really complicated system of sacrifice to atone for various different sins. And when Jesus said, it is finished, and when he died on the cross, that meant he had paid for all those sins. It is finished meant it's paid in full. He had done what he needed to do to save everybody from their sin. Their sin would no longer be held against them. They were no longer accountable for that sin, other than asking for forgiveness. There was no sacrifice made, because Jesus was the once and for all sacrifice for all sin. Sacrificing animals did not have to happen anymore, because Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Now, people have tried to prove that Jesus didn't die for years. People, you know, ever since it happened, that people have been trying to disprove his death, that he was merely unconscious when he was placed in the tomb. But the fact is, he was dead. And even the soldiers who were there, could attest to that very fact. You know, the ones that removed his body from the cross were absolutely certain. Back again in John 19, verse 33 to 35, it says, but when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. So the soldiers told what happened so that we would believe, you know. And they knew that he was definitely dead, because when they pierced him and the blood and water flowed out, that wasn't just, you know, a symbolic thing. Jesus took an extreme beating, a massively extreme beating, you know, and a flogging. You know, the crown of thorns on his head. He was in agony. He'd taken a beating and a flogging. And, you know, I don't need to go into the detail, but in the Passion of Christ, it was very graphic, using the old cat of nine tails type of whips on him. You know, he took an extreme beating, which, you know, and the beating that he would have taken, it would have caused fluid to build up around his heart and around his lungs. That's a proven fact by doctors today. The fluid buildup is called pleural effusion, and it put Jesus in hypovolemic shock. And so when the guard pierced his side, you know, that's why blood and water came out, because the fluid had built up around him. And it was confirmation that he was dead. The blood and the water coming out separately proved he was indeed dead. But through the awesome power of God, the most powerful display of his power, Jesus was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. And the stone wasn't rolled away so that Jesus could get out. It was rolled away so that we could see that the tomb was empty. He was already out of the tomb when the tomb was opened by the angels. You know, no man could have opened that tomb. Not only was it a massive stone, it would have taken several strong people, but it was also sealed. You know, it was sealed by the emperor's seal. But it was opened by the angels, and the stone was rolled away so that people could look in and see that the tomb was empty. You know, it was suggested that the disciples stole his body, but they wouldn't have been able to open the tomb. And the disciples didn't need to break Jesus out. The angels of God needed to show the world that he wasn't in there anymore. You know, in Luke 24, verse 5 to 7, the angel says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." You know, the disciples didn't understand. They didn't actually understand what Jesus had been teaching them about the fact that he was going to die and be risen again. He was teaching them all along, and they followed him and they believed who he was, but they didn't understand. They didn't understand until they saw him again, risen from the dead. But that's what he did. He died and rose again to save us. And because the thing is, death is a certainty for all of us. Every one of us is going to die. Now that might sound morbid, but it's the truth. We're all going to die. If Christ's return doesn't happen before we die, we will all die a physical death. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, "It is appointed to all men to die, and after that the judgment." Ecclesiastes 7 verse 2 says, "For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart." We will not be able to cheat death. We can't avoid death. But Jesus' destiny was to conquer death. Jesus may have died, but he died to conquer death, because death was not the end for him. Because Jesus was God the Son, and God the Father resurrected his Son. Death was defeated, and death had to step aside for him. You know? And that is the key to Christianity. That is the key to our beliefs. If there's no resurrection, then there is no salvation. If there is no resurrection, then there's no eternal life. If there's no resurrection, then there's no power over death, or no victory over death. If there's no resurrection, there is no power to live a victorious life here and later. That's the key. Without the resurrection, there's nothing for us. It doesn't mean anything. But the result of Jesus' resurrection, in Jesus' words, is, "I am with you always. And also, because I live, you also will live." That's the amazing thing. In Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus promised, "I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." And that's amazing. Because Jesus is alive, we are not alone. The Son of God is with us every step of the way. Jesus Christ is our partner, our companion, our mentor, our daily instructor in how to live. He's our friend. He is the Word of God. Christ, now, you know, Christ is not the only person to have died, you know, for their cause. He's not the only person in religion who has died. You know, Socrates, Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad, all of these people are dead. All of these people who were leaders in their religions are dead, or the subject of their religions. They are dead. The others' graves, those people's, what separates Christ from others as that have died for their religion, for their cause, is that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. The others' graves are still occupied. Jesus' tomb is empty. These other religious leaders, their followers can read about their ideas and they can try and make them part of their lives. They can try and live that way. But they can't actually have their teachers alongside them, teaching them as a companion or as a mentor through their lives. But Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. And that means that he is with us every step on our journey. And he can teach us and mentor us and instruct us through this word, through the Bible. John 14, verses 18 to 20 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whatever you go through, wherever you go, whatever God asks you to do, whatever problems you go through, whatever joy you experience or heartbreaks that you suffer, because Jesus is alive, he will never leave our sides. You know, the fact is, you know, Jesus died to save us, and he died and was risen. And although he is not physically here, he is with us at all times. And one day he will return physically. But also, because Jesus rose from the dead, we will also. Remember Matthew 28 verse 20 says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And John 16 verse 22, Jesus says, I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. Jesus rose from the dead, and because of that, so will we. When Jesus rose from the dead, he started a new norm for his followers. It was the new norm to come back from the dead. Now, I don't mean physically on this earth, okay? But when Jesus rose from the dead, he was the first, but he was by no means the last. Because he set a precedent that all his followers would copy. It would happen to his followers again. It'll be like, you know, because Jesus' resurrection, death is not the end for any of us who believe. Because we give our lives to Christ, we will live beyond our physical life here. We will die and we will go to heaven to be with God and to worship God in glory forever in the greatest party, everlasting party ever. Death will not be the end for any of us who believe. It'll be like the best sleep ever before the most beautiful morning that we couldn't even possibly imagine. You know, that morning becomes ours when we follow Jesus from death to life. And that's the thing. When we die, we are passing through death to life. It's not the end. Death is not the end. In some ways, you could say death is only the beginning of eternity. You know? It's not the end. That morning becomes ours when we follow Jesus from death to life. So the question is, have we, by faith, put our lives on his path? Now, you know, things are difficult at the moment. We might be coming out of it. It looks like we're coming out of all these restrictions to do with COVID-19 and with all these vaccinations that are happening. It looks like the numbers are going down. The COVID pandemic, the whole crisis may be coming to an end very soon. But remember, God has had his hand on that the whole time. God is in control of that. There are other difficulties that we face in our life. There will always be difficulties. But Jesus is with us always. He died and rose again to save us. And then he ascended to heaven and we wait for him to return. But while we return, he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us But Jesus is with us at all times. We can ask for it. We can speak to God. We can speak to Jesus. We can speak to the Holy Spirit. We speak to them. And when we pray and we ask them for the guidance and the help that we need through this life, and we believe and are obedient, our belief and our obedience is all it needs. And we love him because he loved us so much. That the fact that Jesus gave himself for us shows the love that he has, the ultimate expression of his love. And also the ultimate expression of the promise that came from before, from Abraham's time to Abraham. Jesus was the ultimate expression. The death and resurrection was the ultimate expression of God's love for us, because he gave Jesus up to die for us, to take the punishment for all the sins we ever have or will commit. And he descended. But he rose again with the power of God. He was risen again. He rose again from the dead to life. And because of that, so will we. So what do we have to do to get that? What do we have to do for that? We just have to accept that gift. We have to accept the fact that Jesus died for us. Accept it and love him. There's a brilliant story that a pastor told one time of a person who came to him and asked, what do I have to do to get to heaven? And the pastor, like that, you know, in seconds, right away said to him, it's too late. You're too late. You're about 2,000 years too late. What needed to be done for your salvation has been done already. You don't get to heaven by what you do. You get to heaven by what Jesus has done for you already. You just accept his gift. So, yeah, we can't do anything to get to heaven. We don't have the power to. But it's already been done. Jesus died and rose again. That is what needed to be done for us to get to heaven. All we have to do is accept that gift and give him the love and the obedience and that he deserves. That is the Father's love. We've been looking at that all year. The Father's love. And the ultimate expression of the Father's love is he gave up his son for all the rest of his children. He gave up his son, Jesus Christ, to die so that all of his children on earth could rise with him again to life. That is the ultimate expression of the Father's love. That's why Jesus' resurrection is the heart of the good news. The good news is, yes, he died to save us, but he rose again so that we could have eternal life. And that is what Easter is about. That's what we celebrate on Easter. And that's why the Passion of the Christ film needs a sequel, to tell us the story of what happened next, to tell us what happened after he died. Because after he died, he rose again. And that is at the heart of what we believe. Because he died, we will live. Because he died and rose again, we will live on in eternity. And that's the amazing gift that Jesus gave us. And that is the Father's love. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you for your love, your amazing love. And we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for Jesus' death and resurrection, that because he died and rose again, we will live on in eternity after we leave this earth. Lord, thank you so much for that amazing gift. We can't comprehend what it could be to give up your child to die, especially taking the punishment for everyone in the world's sins. And he didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve it. And because of that, we don't deserve the gift you give us. But you give us it because you love us. And Lord, I want to thank you again for that. Because, you know, thank you that you loved us that much. It's such an amazing gift. You know, and as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, help us to remember just what it actually means, the resurrection. And help us to be your humble servants, Lord, to humbly kneel before you and accept the gift of your love. And Lord, give us every opportunity to tell people about that amazing love and what the death and resurrection actually means. Lord, bless each one of us today as we celebrate together. You know, families are going to be meeting together. Well, no, because of the pandemic, no, we can't, Lord. But you know, it's usually a family time, Lord. But just help us to celebrate that amazing good news today. Remember what the good news is. Just bless each and every one of us, Lord. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. God bless each one of you. Thank you for listening. And I hope that you'll join me next week for another sermon. And just one last time today, he has risen. You know, in the tomb, he is not here. He is risen. He's alive. Jesus is alive. And let's celebrate that today. God bless.